trials along the way.
There's a brighter day.
Brighter day on the other side.
Trouble is always there before us. Trusting in Jesus, we can say,
there's a brighter day.
Brighter day on the other side.
There's a brighter day.
Brighter day a-coming over on the other side.
On the other side.
Other side.
Rejoicing with the
saints in heavenly land will ever abide.
And happy we'll be.
No more pain or sorrow. Sadness will say goodbye.
Each tear he will dry.
He will dry.
There's a brighter
day awaiting for me on the other side.
Riding with Jesus through the battle, standing on his amazing grace.
There's a brighter day.
Brighter day on the other side.
Trusting the one who died to save us, soon we will see his blessed face.
There's a brighter day.
Brighter day on the other side.
There's a brighter day.
Brighter day a-coming over on the other side.
On the other side.
Other side.
Rejoicing with the
saints in a heavenly land will ever abide.
And happy we'll be.
No more pain or sorrow. Sadness will say goodbye.
Each tear he will dry.
He will dry.
There's a brighter
day awaiting for me on the other side.
There's a brighter day.
Brighter day a-coming over on the other side.
On the other side.
Other side.
Rejoicing with the
saints in heavenly land will ever abide.
And happy we'll be.
No more pain or sorrow. Sadness will say goodbye.
Each tear he will dry.
He will dry.
There's a brighter
day awaiting for me on the other side.
There's a brighter
day awaiting for me
on the other side.
On the other side.
Lucky, but someone that understands and has a proper perspective of life and of work and works hard and is wise. And the Bible says in verse 13, but I say that wisdom excelleth folly as far as light excelleth darkness. The wise man's eyes are in his head, but the fool walketh in darkness, and I myself perceived also that one event happeneth unto them all. Then I said in my heart, as it happeneth to the fool, so it happeneth even to me. Now remember, Solomon was a wise individual. And yet he said wisdom's not the answer, because the same events that are happening to the foolish man who's not walking by common sense or having the proper perspective of life, here is Solomon with all this wisdom and knowledge, and yet he's saying, wait a minute, the fool, the same events are happening to him as they're happening to me, this wise individual. I can try to illustrate it this way. A man goes off to school. And he studies and studies and studies and studies and he studies and he gets a PhD. He becomes a doctor. He learns all of these things. He walks this way. His eyes are in his head, as the Bible says. And he walks according to the wisdom in which he was taught. And here's another guy. He doesn't care less. I mean, he lives his life his own way, and he doesn't really do anything, and yet both somehow get through life, and both of them die, and Solomon is saying, where's their wisdom? It's all gone. It's gone. So he says, wisdom is just vanity. It's just vanity. He says here, apart from God, wealth is meaningless. Look what the Bible says, Ecclesiastes chapter 6 and verse number 1. There is an evil which I have seen under the sun, and it is common among men, a man to whom God hath given riches and wealth and honor, so that he wanted nothing for his soul and of all that he desireth, yet God giveth him not power to eat thereof. Here is a man. I mean, remember when you were young, all you could afford is Kraft dinner, and yet you had a cast iron stomach. I mean, you could eat anything, and it didn't really matter. And now, as you get older, and because of working hard, you have some money, and now you can buy some prime steak. But yet, the doctor says you're not allowed to eat that. And Solomon said, "What vanity!" I mean, even wealth only lasts for a little time, and it can't give you everything that you need in life. The reality is, if money could buy everything, then Steve Jobs would still be alive, because he would have bought his health. He would have gave all of his riches for health. Solomon said, no, wait a minute. I just realized that apart from God, riches, wealth is meaningless. Apart from God, work is meaningless. Look what the Bible says in verse 11. I return this all under the sun, that the race is not, look what he says, the race is not to the swift. The race is not, the battle doesn't belong to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise. You would think that if someone is filled with wisdom and works really, 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 really hard, and they do this their entire life, that they would be wealthy. But Solomon said, that's not the case. There are times when people don't have that, and they don't work hard, and they don't have a good work ethic, yet they have money, yet they have wealth. The right time, the right place, not what you know, it's who you know. Oh, they were born with it. And Solomon said, it's not fair. It's too complex. I don't understand life. He said, it's just work. It's just meaningless. If I can work hard and this person doesn't have to do anything, but yet they get the same reward, Solomon said, I don't understand. Life is just too complex for me to understand. So let's break this down if we could. Not only is life a mystery, let's think about this. Life is a challenge. Now, Christian, listen, as we go through this, the Bible says this in Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 24, there is nothing better for a man than that he should eat and drink, and that he should make his soul enjoy good in his labor. This also I saw, that it was from the hand of God. Now, we're going to try to make sense here of life from a biblical, godly perspective. The Bible says here in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11, he hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also, he has set the world in their heart, so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning unto the end. I know that there is no good in them, but for a man to rejoice and to do good in his life. And also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of his labor. It is the gift of God. Look what the Bible says in chapter 3, verse 22. Therefore I perceived there is nothing better than that a man should rejoice in his own works, for that is his portion. For who shall bring him to see that what shall be after him? Behold, chapter 5, verse 18, behold, that which I have seen, it is good and comely for one to eat and to drink and to enjoy the good of all of his labor. The Bible says it this way in Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 10, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with all of thy might. Now, God is teaching us here that life is to be enjoyed. Now, I'm not talking about the seeker, the pleasure-seeking philosophy that the Bible says in the book of Matthew that we are to eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. That's not what the Bible is talking about. But the Bible is talking about that we should love our life and we should enjoy life. We don't always understand life, and that's okay. But God placed us here to enjoy our life. Now, how do we enjoy the life that God has given us? Well, first of all, think about this. We can enjoy life because God is good. We should live life joyfully. Because God is good, we should live life joyfully. You know, oftentimes I see people who become so bewildered and so perplexed about the problems of life and the events of their life that they forget that God is good and that life, God has given them life and life more abundantly. And life is not a prison sentence. Life is a blessing. And the Bible says it is a gift from God. And so I say to you, when you eat supper tonight, how many have already eaten supper? I eat supper after church every single time. Well, if you've ever eaten, God bless you. If you've not eaten, when you eat supper tonight, enjoy it. Enjoy it. When you go to work, enjoy your job. If you're married, enjoy your wife, enjoy your husband, enjoy your children, enjoy your grandchildren, enjoy your friends, enjoy the blessing that God has given to you. Squeeze all of the juice out of life that you can because time is short. It is so short. The Bible says it is the gift of God. Now, here is the problem that many people face. They're so busy wanting a better life that they forget to enjoy the one they have. They're so busy looking for a better life that they forget to enjoy the life that they have. Have you ever noticed a man never earns enough? A woman is never beautiful enough. Clothes are never fashionable enough. Cars are never nice enough. Gadgets are never new enough. Houses are never furnished enough. Food is never fancy enough. Relationships are never romantic enough. Life is never full enough. Someone said this, friend, they said, if you can't enjoy life, it's not only a shame, it's a sin. And God has placed us here, and God is good, and he's given us wonderful blessings and gifts. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. And so I say, the complexity of life, yeah, absolutely, it's complex. If Solomon, the wisest man on this earth, couldn't understand it, then probably you're not going to understand it either. But you can still enjoy life. Because it's a gift from God. Number two, because God is sovereign, we can live life with confidence. Because God is sovereign, we can live our life with confidence. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 14, I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to him, nor anything taken from him. And God doeth it that man should fear before him. The Bible teaches us that God is in control. You know, the motto of the Christian life should be this: trust me. This is God saying this: trust me, I have everything under control. Now, if someone says that to you, if someone on this earth says, trust me, I have everything under control, probably be afraid. But God says that, and he can be trusted. Because you know why? He has everything under control. He is sovereign. He is sovereign. If life doesn't make sense to you, then guess what? It makes perfect sense to God. God is sovereign. He understands life. He understands what we're facing. And if life seems vain to you, then life is not vain to God. Friend, listen, let God be God. Trust in him. Trust in him. Remember that God is sovereign. Dr. Einstein, or Professor Einstein, was absolutely a brilliant man. He came up with the theory of relativity. They say only 12 men or individuals on this earth is able to comprehend it. And one day someone asked Mrs. Einstein, do you understand the theory of relativity? And she said, no, but I understand Dr. Einstein. And that's a good principle for our life. We don't have to understand everything about life. We just have to know God and know that he does understand everything about life. And we can trust him. We can know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are the called. You see, we can know the one who is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So life is complex. Life is an adventure, and God wants us to enjoy life. He doesn't want us to spend our days trying to figure out that which we cannot understand. But thirdly, and I'll be done tonight, life is a test. Now look what the Bible says in the last chapter of the book of Ecclesiastes as King Solomon is coming to his senses now. He's realizing that life apart from God is vanity of vanities for sure. And he's coming to his senses and he's realizing that God must be first place. He says in this scripture, chapter 12, Ecclesiastes, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment and every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Three things, and I'll finish tonight. Number one, learn to rejoice. Learn to rejoice. The Bible says this in Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 9, rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart and in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that for all these things, God will bring thee into judgment. Here's what the Bible is saying. The Bible is saying, live life to its fullest. Rejoice in the blessings of God. It's not saying to live high, wide, and handsome. It's not saying, young people, sow your wild oats. That's not what the Bible is saying. The Bible is saying in this passage of scripture to have joy in the Lord, but remember that one day you're going to give an account of your life. One day you're going to give an account of your life. And so you need to play by God's rules. And friend, God's rules do not restrict us. They liberate us. They give us freedom. But just remember, enjoy your life. God, it's a gift. But remember, one day you'll stand before God and you'll give an account to him. Learn to rejoice. Number two, learn to rest. See, not only are we to learn to rejoice, but we need to also learn to rest. The Bible says it this way in Ecclesiastes chapter 11 and verse number 10, therefore remove sorrow, verse 10, remove sorrow from thy heart. The word sorrow is an interesting word. The thought there is vexation, and it comes from two words, anger and resentment. And this is the conclusion of Solomon. He's saying, listen, if you're going to enjoy your life, first of all, you need to rejoice in the Lord. You need to live your life to its fullest and the blessings and the opportunities that God gives you. But I'll tell you something, you got to get bitterness and resentment out because it's going to hurt you in the end. You will not succeed. You will not find success in your life. Get bitterness out of your life. So many people have been ruined by a bitter root. The Bible says many are defiled. Bitterness needs to be taken out. Pluck that root out and find that happiness and joy in your life. And then the Bible says to learn to remember. It says, remember now, chapter 12, verse 1, remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth. Well, the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Remember, call to your mind the goodness of God. You want to enjoy your life? Listen, friend, we need to live in the blessings of God and live according to God's guidelines, God's principles. He knows best. And get bitterness and resentment out of your heart and live in that joy and the freedom in Christ. And then remember God. In everything that you do, remember God and trust in him. I think oftentimes we make life more complex than it needs to be. And the Bible has the answers. We're not going to understand why every events happen in our life. I don't know why my dad died when I was 15 years old from a boy's perspective. It's when I needed him the most. I was just coming into a man. I don't understand that, but I know that God is good. And that's all I need to know, that God's looking out for the best for me, and he loves me so. And yes, there are things that we'll never understand. But when you don't understand everything about life, you can trust the heart of God. And you can know that God knows what is best for you. Karl Barth was a brilliant theologian. toward the end of his life. He took a trip. It was a trip of a lifetime. He traveled in the continents. He went from great cathedrals. He went to great universities. He lectured. He preached. He studied. He taught. He interchanged ideas with great doctors of the law and philosophy and theology. And it was just really a fitting climax to the life of a man who was a brilliant scholar and a man who loved the Word of God. And he came back home. And as he was home, he was in a classroom filled with younger men. And they had so many questions to ask this theologian. And so one of the young men put up his hand and he acknowledged him. And he said, Dr. Barth, in all of your travels, and you've traveled through around the world, in all of your travels, and all that you've seen, and all that you've heard in your life, what is the most profound thought you've ever had? And he thought for a moment, and then he looked at that young man, and he said, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. And that, friend, is what life is all about. You see, life is complex, and life is confusing, and I'm not standing up before you telling you why these events happen, and I know that our world is cursed by sin, and tragic things happen, and I'm not sure why God allows them to happen. If I had the answers, I'd be God. But I'm here to tell you, you can trust God with your life, with your eternal soul. And through all of the complexities of life, there's a shining bright light. And that is Jesus loves you. And that's a wonderful blessing. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for all that you've done for us. And thank you, Lord, for the truth of your word. Lord, we would be lost if it wasn't for the revelation that you've given to us through Scripture. Thank you, Lord, for allowing us to see a glimpse of who you are. And Lord, to understand in just a small way what life is all about, why we are here and where we are going. And Lord, I pray that through your word tonight, it would calm the hearts of your children, that we would better get an understanding of what life is all about. And Lord, I pray when difficulties come, when those troubles come and adversities come, I pray, Heavenly Father, you'd help us to trust your heart, to know that you're a good God, and that you love us so. Help us, Lord, I pray, to excel and to grow and to be stronger as a Christian because of the trials that you allow in our life. And so, Lord, help us also to be a blessing to others. We have friends and family that I know personally, I have friends and family that are unsaved. And Lord, they're watching us. And I pray you'd help us to be an example to them in these days. Lord, we love you. And we thank you so much for your love to us. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's take our hymn books together for our benediction tonight.
We're glad that you joined us for this week's program. Timeless Truths is a ministry of Kitchener Baptist Church in Kitchener, Ontario. We are a refreshingly conservative Baptist church that stands on the preaching and power of the Word of God. We would love for you to worship the Lord with us. We meet on Sundays at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m., and on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. for our midweek Bible study. If you would like to send your prayer request to Timeless Truths, we would love to pray for you and with you. You can email your request to prayer@kitchenerbaptist.org, or you can reach us by mail at Timeless Truths Radio Ministry, 1720 Glasgow Street, Kitchener, Ontario, N2N0A7. Once again, that is 1720 Glasgow Street, Kitchener, Ontario, N2N0A7. If you have been helped by this ministry, we would love to hear your story. Call us at 519-579-2236 or connect with us through our website at timelesstruths.ca. There you will find beneficial resources and hear more helpful messages from Pastor Jerry Burns. We hope that today's program has encouraged you. Pastor Burns has served at Kitchener Baptist Church for almost 10 years. If he can be of any spiritual help to you or your family, please let him know. Thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time when we open the Bible and discover God in His timeless truths.
Week ends can make for strong beginnings, especially when you start each week with RE Recovery. They meet at Kitchener Baptist Church every Friday night at 7. Whatever you're struggling with, drugs, alcohol, pornography, tobacco, or any other behavioral problems like anger or depression, believe me, RE Recovery offers the help you need. Plus, you'll make some great new friends who understand what you're going through. And RE Recovery is open to people from all walks of life, any faith or no faith. Anybody who is just seeking to find something that works. I'm telling you, if you live better, you'll feel better. So why not make this your weekend for strong beginnings with RE Recovery? RE Recovery meets at Kitchener Baptist Church, 1720 Glasgow Street, every Friday night at 7 p.m. For more information, go to RERecovery.org or call 226-336-7680. That is RERecovery.org, 226-336-7680.